We're continuing our conversation with the candidates for the September 2nd preliminary election here in Quincy. Joining me next here in studio is Anne Mahoney, former counselor at large, former school committee member here in Quincy, coming back to try and get her old seat back on the city council. Anne, great to see you again.
It's great to see you too, Joe. Thank you very much for having me.
You are very welcome. It is our distinct pleasure. You jumped into the race for at-large counselor right at the last second, pretty much, and what's going on?
So I happened to be in Quincy Center, and I was coming in to pay a bill, and I must have missed everything here. I just decided that I was watching everything, and I did have some concerns, and I decided, I was 50-50 when I came into to town hall, and I was like, I think I'm gonna go pull papers, and I did. And here we are. And it's definitely the latest I've ever done something, but you know, I'm still feeling very positive about why I'm doing it, and the feedback I'm getting from people. I think there were a lot of people that got very excited, thinking maybe I would never be back, and even including myself. I wasn't sure if I was going to be back, but I will say that I haven't lost the passion for our community and the people that live here, and there's some great things that are happening here in Quincy, but like any place, wherever we live, questions only make our community better, stronger, safer, more financially able for people to be able to stay here, so I think I bring that to the city council.
Why did you choose not to run 2 years ago?
For city council?
Yeah.
When I ran for mayor? That's why, because I ran for mayor.
Okay, all right.
You can't run for both.
Okay, all right.
So, at that time, I really did think that there was some questions that needed to be had. And, you know, elections are won and lost, and I'm not afraid to lose something. What I think you gain from them is the conversations that you have, and you raise the bar for whoever is going to go into office. And a lot of those things that I was asking questions for are still the same things that are concerns. And when I ran for mayor and I lost, I was, you know, very gracious, and I did say, you know, anytime you want to sit down and talk about the other 48% of the city that seems to be having a real disagreement with what's going on, that's a big split, you know, 50-50. I never had that opportunity to sit down with the current administration to do that, and that doesn't mean that he's not listening, but I think there's a lot of things that were tone deaf in the last 2 years that, you know, brings me back to the seat to say, you know, I did do that job in the city council. I did ask those questions, and I think it does make it for a stronger, transparent community, and it answers the questions that people want to know.
So what have you been doing for the past 2 years, Anne?
So for the past 2 years, I will say that I was very proud of that election that I did run. I did lose my mom, and that was a very tough adjustment for me. So right after that election, I had a lot of healing to do, because having both my parents live up the street from me and having it just was an idealistic, you know, perfect kind of life with my kids living down the street for them. I had some healing to do with that. So we're dealing with the home and dealing with all those things. But then I also had to assess what I wanted to do. Was I going to go back into the private sector? I had quit my job to be able to run for mayor. And, you know, I took some solace in the time that I had, and I decided that I still think I have something to serve here. And I'm working now in the town of Holbrook. I'm the interim town administrator. The town administrator left the week after I pulled papers. So I was the assistant town administrator, and now I'm the interim town administrator, but I've enjoyed that time, and it's a different, totally different form of government. As we know, there's multiple different governments in Massachusetts, and Quincy is a strong strong form of mayor, we council, and the town of Holbrook is a select board. And there's 5 select board members that I report to. I'm the interim town administrator, and pretty much I'm running the operations of the town. That comes to the finances, the budgets, the negotiations for all of the contracts, the ins and outs and the inner workings of everything that's happening, from their Tri-Town Water venture that they're going to be coming live, going live in February of next year, to, you know, a roof on the DPW. I'm doing it all, and I'm enjoying it. And what's really great is I'm getting to work with it's a smaller community, but I'm getting to work with the community, and they had a lot of challenges. They had some big positions that were open when I came in. They didn't have a town accountant. They didn't have a council on aging. They didn't have a benefits person. They didn't have a DPW superintendent. They didn't have a town manager. And I was able to help them fill those gaping holes in all those areas. We have really strong people that are there, and you're starting to see some strength coming in from the positions that were filled. Unfortunately, the town administrator decided he was going to retire. So those things do happen. That happens everywhere. But that doesn't mean that the community just stops. It just means that we continue to move forward and find a way to make it stronger for them.
Yeah.
So stability is what my first goal was there for the town of Holbrook, and I was able to build that. And then Watching what was happening here in Quincy, I decided, like I said, I was in my hometown, walking into town hall and filled papers because I thought I can still do something here. And it doesn't interfere with that day, that job, my day. Now, my day job.
I was going to ask, do you think you can do both?
Absolutely. Yeah. My day job, I've always had a day job. So when I was on the city council, I had a full-time job in town. And it was demanding, and when my job was demanding, I always focused on my day job because that's what pays the bills, right? But this is really a civic responsibility. It's less about, you know, it was never about, for me, running for public office was never about being paid for public office. It was about being able to be a voice for the people I represented. When I ran for the school committee, I felt like my voice wasn't being answered as a parent, and I knew I wasn't the only one, so I was in the school committee. I was very there representative of the parents and listening to what their needs were and making sure that there was a connection between the schools and the parents, helping people navigate through their government, whether it's schools, how to handle something that's happening with your child or your special education, or who do you talk to first from the levels of meeting with your teacher to the principal to the guidance counselors to the all the way up to the superintendent, to making sure that you can navigate and get the best opportunities for your child, to working on the city government, making sure the same thing's happening when it comes to your community. Is this the right development that's happening? We're getting flooded. What's happening here? Or why are we not understanding what the budget is? Or how come our taxes are going up so high? Or why are we spending? Why isn't it transparent about what we're spending? Those are the types of things that I think I bring the best to our government. And I, you know, the Monday night meetings are when the city council is. My meetings are on Wednesday nights.
In Holbrook.
And they're the first and third of the month. So on the first and third of the month, I will not be able to be in the city of Quincy.
Right.
But that my priority will always be my day job wherever I am. If I was the mayor of the city of Quincy, that would have been a full-time job, and my 24/7 would have been here. My 24/7 has always been my day job. This is an important role, mm-hmm. and it's 24/7 to me too. So basically, I'm always available for people. Mm. And, you know, as I always did in my day job, if you call me and I'm in a work situation, I'll call you back in my lunch hour, call you back before or after work. I set times for being able to set people up, and I always meet with people on the weekend, so typically it won't interfere.
You returned your nomination papers, if not that day, very soon after. What mm-hmm. was that process like going out to collect the signatures?
That was challenging. I picked them up, and, you know, usually this is something that's kind of funny, too, because usually this is something that I ran for school committee, I talked to my family.
Yes.
I ran for mayor, I talked to my family.
Sure.
I wasn't, you know, this was one of those things that I don't think anybody in my family, my kids were very funny because they were like, I don't think they found out until a month after I was on the ballot. They were like, what? but people were very excited. So It didn't take long for signatures to get collected.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, the challenge there was I needed to get them certified. I needed them to get them back.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, that was the only challenge I had. It wasn't really a challenge. It was just more of, you know, when will I fit this in to get it back? And I did. So, you know, it was the fastest I've ever gotten signatures. And I think I had 157 certified, but
okay.
I think I had over two. They limit you to 250. They don't
right.
want any more
right.
than 250. I think I might have had 200.
Okay.
And I would have liked to have had the 250, but I didn't have a lot of time.
So was it on a whim, man? Or
I wouldn't say it was a whim. I had been watching things that were going on. People were asking me.
Okay.
A lot of people were asking me. And, you know, it's definitely one of those things when people ask you, you know, you're saying you're not. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will say when you're first not doing it, you realize like, wow, that took a lot of time and energy.
Yep.
But then, when people are asking you, and you're feeling like, I can give you direction, but I don't have access to that. I'm not sure. And then I started looking into a few things. Like, you know, I understand the challenges. I know Just Quincy is out there. I know Quincy Votes out there. I know the people that are out there doing those things. And the salary, like, you know, that was a big deal. I mean, that was something that didn't get even whispered during the campaign. And I know it wasn't the day after the election was won, but that's a giant change. And, you know, we like to talk about, you know, you're the mayor of the city of Quincy or the CEO, but you're not a Fortune 500 company. They're two totally different things.
Mm.
You know, at a Fortune 500 company, you're responsible for the return on investment of your stockholders. You can be dismissed at any second. The CEO of a city, if you want to put yourself that, you're the mayor of the city. You're elected in. And it's a very, I know that they decided because of ethics getting involved that they wouldn't put the salary until the next year, but then they put the salary into the budget. There was just a lot of questionable things that I didn't think felt right. You know, and it doesn't feel right to me, it doesn't feel right to a lot of the people that were supporters of mine. And I have to say, I'm really proud of all of the people that stepped up, decided to run this time too. And maybe I just missed everybody. So I tell you, I missed you, Joe. I miss being part of our community. And I think I still have that voice that needs to be able to be heard and answered to so that we can have a better direction as we move our city forward.
Yeah. Will you accept the city council salary if you are elected?
I think I said at the very beginning that I'm not about the salary, mm-hmm. so no, if I was on the city council, I wouldn't have voted for it, mm-hmm. so I'm not here for the salary. I'm here for making sure that we make things better for the community that we work for. So the same thing with the mayor's salary. Like I do believe that he does deserve a raise, and he deserved a raise 10 years ago. He could have had a raise, but you know, at this particular crossroad, like, that's a giant raise maybe. And they did it. What I thought was interesting is when I didn't actually agree with, you know, how they were doing the salary study for the directors when I was on the city council, but they phased it. They did it over 2 years. I thought it was strange that, why wouldn't he have phased it for himself? I thought that was interesting that he didn't do that. And it just doesn't look very well when you have a report that's coming from the Midwest that's very small, that's basically saying that we're basing it on town managers or, you know, town administrators. They're totally different. It's a totally different responsibility. You're in a candidate of people. You're expected to have a certain educational background. You're expected to have a certain financial acumen. You have to be able to do those things yourself. You don't have a staff of people in the mayor's office. He has a staff. He has a communication staff. He has the finance staff. We do have staff that help me in my day job, but I'm responsible for the final thing, and I'm organizing that. And one would say the mayor's doing the same thing, but I don't think he has his hands as deep into it as you have to in that role. And you have a contract, but you can be dismissed at any time. You cannot be dismissed as an elected official. And those are two different things. And I think in communities, in towns in particular, they struggle with some of their elected officials. Like we don't have an elected clerk and we don't have an elected treasurer in the city. They do have those in towns, and it can be very difficult when you have an elected position because those are critical roles. That doesn't mean the towns shouldn't have those as elected positions, but they're just different, and it's a different way of operating your government. And I don't want to confuse those two things, because it's a challenge to be a mayor, it's also a challenge to be a town administrator, and they're not the same thing.
What do you think about the new policy that was approved for tying salaries to the consumer price index?
Yeah, I think that's actually a very fair thing. What's very different that I will say is, you know, Quincy is not an affluent city, but we act like we are. We spend a lot of money, and we have no guidance on anything when we come to spending. When it comes to budgeting, I work in a town where they're very they're very careful about what they're spending. They have a FinCom, which is completely separate from what we do here. I consider the city council more like the FinCom, but the FinCom in the town I work in ask a lot of questions, and they don't just give out the money. They have to be proven that it has to be something that needs to be spent and invested in. It's just different, that's all I can say. But what our city council is not doing is 99% of their votes were all yes votes. There was no questions, and canceling meetings because there's nothing to talk about when there's people knocking on your door asking for answers is really tone deaf. And those are the types of things that were making me kind of sit back up in my seat and say, I don't understand what's happening here. And, you know, I respect my fellow colleagues on the city council, and I think when I left, they had an opportunity to step up and do that, and I think it's time for some voices to come back into that city council and ask those questions. It's something that the city did for decades. When our city councils were there, they always asked questions. There's no wrong answer to a question. It's just a question.
What in the current budget that was just approved would you have questioned?
The two hires for the fraud pieces, without, you know, having the idea that we have somebody identified for them. It's not very transparent, and it should be something that we should have the job descriptions for and have an understanding as to what they're really going to do. I understand the nature of what those are, but at the same time, we just had a director that was left from the COA that was walked out by our police chief, and it just gives a bad mark on our community, and there's no answers for that. And I would expect that audit. And I would expect, you know, we approved also the 99-year lease. I call it the 99-year lease. There's no audit of any of those things that were brought up in the city council and were supposed to be brought back to the city council. Mm-hmm. We are tone deaf when we're not actually going back and requesting those things. It's our responsibility as the elected official in those seats to make sure we're getting those answers for our constituents.
Okay, so if elected, how would you try and change that?
I would try to convince people that this is what we need to do. And even if I'm the only person asking for it, which I've been in the past, I will be continuing to be the only person asking. But I'm very hopeful that people will see that there needs to be a balance of the voices that are on the city council. And they'll recognize that this is their opportunity to be able to have people representing them, mm-hmm. asking those questions so that we can have fair deliberations about what's happening in our city.
What were folks saying to you, Anne, when you were out collecting your signatures and since have been campaigning now, obviously, you know, what's on their minds? Yeah.
What I find the funniest is very often when I'm there, I'm like, hi, I'm Anne Mahoney. And they're like, we know who you are. And then I'll think, okay, is that a good thing? I say, it is a good thing.
Okay.
And so it's, I'm being very welcomed. And I will say that, you know, I also think there needs to be new voices on the city council. And that was one of the things I struggled with because I've been around for a while, Joe. And, you know, I think it's time for new people. But at the same time, sometimes you also need somebody that knows. It's I'm going to say something about being an elected official. You run for an office and you believe that you're going to be able to go right in there and ask those questions. It's hard to do. It may not look hard to do, but it is. And I think that's why oftentimes questions don't get asked. But, you know, it's also very hard to sit in a room with 100 people sitting in the room and you know they're not going to be happy with the questions you're going to ask those questions. I just have a different kind of way of looking at that because I'm not there to answer the people that are looking at me. I'm there to answer the people who elected me. And some of them are in the audience. And sometimes we're going to differ because sometimes those people are supportive or not supportive of the things that I might be asking. Mm. But it's important for me to be able to ask those questions and make sure that we're deliberating on the things that we're doing so that we're getting the best for everybody because it can't just be about the people who are looking at me. So when I say that, I mean it can be very difficult to say the questions or ask the questions you need to ask, and I think I help people into those conversations.
Yeah. Do you think there needs to be some kind of a training for new counselors or orientation or some type of an adjustment program or a class, if you will, or school?
There is. There are classes. There are things in the state that you can go and you can learn about your role as a new elected official. Mm. They'll have the MMA holds conferences that you can go and you can collaborate and work with other communities. They may not be the same form of government, mm-hmm. but they're the same issues. You know, when you're an elected official and you have, I mean, oftentimes, and I will say I've been guilty of it myself. When I first ran for school committee, I thought we could do all sorts of things. And when I got there, I was like, oh. So it's not that easy to get that money.
So there's a learning curve.
There is a learning curve. Yeah. You know, you're thinking, like, why aren't we getting more federal money? And then you start to realize that there's formulas for how much money the city's going to get and where you're going to get it from. Mm. Or when the state delegation would come in and say, we're going to get the schools an extra $2 million. I was looking for my budget to grow by $2 million. Little did I know at that time that meant it was coming into the general fund in the city, and the city funds the schools at a certain percentage. So if our budget's $100 million and I'm getting $2 million extra from the state, I would think my budget's going to be 102, but my budget stayed $100 million. And I thought, this is, you know, that was a learning curve.
Okay,
you definitely think as though it's being, that piece of pie is being cut for the schools.
Right.
Why are we not getting to use it? But that's not how it works. And those are the things that sometimes as you're running before you are actually doing the job, you don't understand. But when you start to understand it, you start to realize, I need to make sure that we're positioning these things in a way that it's fair. Another example would just to be for the Comcast money for public access.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's not as transparent as to where that's going. Mm-hmm. I know we have public access, all communities have public access, and it's a really important piece of being able to get the messaging out to the general public, and it's public access. It's meant to be all forms, all answers, all questions. You know, it's not limited to just one side.
Right.
Not that you are, I'm just saying that's the importance of it.
So speaking of transparency, how can the city better be transparent about the way it spends money?
Well, I can say this. If I was in the city council and they had that meeting for the statues that they had, and the answer was, you're finding out about it just like everybody else is, I don't think I would have been as generous back to them saying, I just want to make sure everybody know I didn't know it either. I would have been outraged by that. And that is the tone deaf piece that I'm thinking that we're having here. You know, when you're not aware of something and you're an elected official and you're blindsided by it, you should be blindsided by it. You should kind of say, wait, that's not right. Whether it's you're an elected official or you're working at your job or you're a family member, something happens in your family. Those are normal reactions when you realize that somebody was not being forthcoming. We can't fix the problem if you're not forthcoming. And that was kind of a hidden line item, one would say. And you know, the answer back when people were having a problem that night was very, the best way I could say it was flippant, to say, you know, what's the next steps here and who can you go? You can go to your government. Well, they went to their government, and then their government said, your job is to now wait and enjoy the art that comes before you. That's their tax dollars. That's their money. That's out of our pockets to say that they have no say in it, or to say, and it's in court now. So to say that and to suggest that unilaterally, behind closed doors, the tax dollars of the city of Quincy can be spent in any way they want, and the transparency of the city government, meaning your council, doesn't have a say in it, they should be outraged when they don't know. I know I was when I was in the city council, when I found out things like the COVID money was being used to purchase the Monroe building or the marina that hasn't been used. You know, we spent COVID money that could have been used on anything, but we used it on investments in property per se to say that it was going to be used for one thing, and now it's being positioned as another. This is what I mean about being a CEO in the private world. You would never be able to spend that kind of money on one thing and then not use it for something and not be responsible for what that's being used for. The change of opportunities of what we were specifically purchasing things for. Lots of money has been spent on real estate with the idea it was going to be used for one thing, and then it's been parked because the idea can't be brought to fruition. And the investment is the taxpayers' money. And that's part of where our debt's coming from.
Speaking of that, do you want to comment on an issue that's been made about the city's debt, $1.6 billion, mm-hmm. I think, right now, and how that's being managed?
And it's only going to keep growing because we just kicked the can down the road with the diff for the downtown another 20 years, which just means that we can borrow more, which means there's going to be more put on the back of the future residents of the city of Quincy. And eventually, like anything, you know, you have to be very careful about how much debt you take out. If you want to be a CEO of a private sector, then you have to actually also recognize that you can't just, in a city, you can just keep saying, well, you know, your houses are going up in value, and this is happening, and that is happening, and we're doing great. You have to balance that for whether it's happening today or tomorrow. I know it gets extended over 30 years, but we're extending the debt in a downtown that hasn't succeeded itself in 20 years, pushing it out 20 more years, and we still have buildings that don't have real retail on the bottom. I compare that too. I just want people to remember, like, when we're talking about the financial impact of the downtown and all the things that are happening. I was just recently in Beverly for a family party. Beverly's doing something very similar. Their downtown has very similar buildings. I think we can all agree that wherever we go, we see the same buildings in almost every community. However, in Beverly, they have retail in their bottom stores. And what we have is incentives that are happening for these buildings to be built. It would be like buying a three-family home and saying that the only way I can afford it is to make sure that I'm gonna live in the third floor, but I want that I need two other floors to be filled. But I got some kind of incentive, and all of a sudden I really only need to fill one floor. I don't have to fill the bottom floor. Why is the retail in the bottom floors of these buildings still empty? It's not because we can't find places. It's because there's no desire or need for the people who are building these buildings because their incentives have been so strong. And those are the tax breaks that they're getting. These are formulas that we need to be really looking at. And you know, people might disagree with me, but please take a look when you go to other communities that have these buildings. The bottom floors are all filled. Ours are not. There's something wrong with our formulas.
Okay. When it comes to the public hearing process at City Council, mm-hmm. Anne, do you think there needs to be a change in the way that takes place?
I do. Either you have to change the people who are sitting there so they're going to listen to the people, or you have to start having more public process. There are no public hearings. When they do them, they're just, you know, they're it's for the taxes, or they're limited. And, you know, people, when I was elected, there wasn't many people that were coming out. They were only coming out for their special interest projects. You have now rooms being filled with people protesting outside City Hall. I think that, you know, the Adams Green there is beautiful. You can't see them from the street, but it's definitely a safer place for people to stand out with protests. But there's more of that happening, and when more of that is happening, that means that you need to start listening to what people are saying, because there's some rumbling that's happening in your community, and we have to understand what it is so that we can make sure that we're fulfilling the role of government for everybody, not just the people that like you. But when you get elected, you're elected for everybody. I'm not elected just for the people who like Anne Mahoney. I'm also elected for the people who didn't vote for me, and I'm going to be there to represent them and answer their questions.
There's been talk about a residential tax exemption or abatement process. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's to be looked at?
I've been saying that for a long time. Mm. However, some of the things in the formulas that people have come up with, they're unique, but if you can't back it up with the financials of being able to show it, you know, you can't sit here and say the mayor deserves a raise, give him 3%, not 2%. And then taxpayers deserve a rebate. We can't have it all. So you have to start being able to look at the people. Our seniors, my parents, that lived in their house, when I was taking care of their finances, I was amazed at how well they did with so little. And my dad was a child of the Depression. I think us, my generation and the next generation coming up, we're going to have a tough time because we don't have some of the things or the abilities that they had between savings and different things. Mm-hmm. And some people won't have the luxury of having a home or whatever else they need. So people that are in their homes now, people that have been invested into the community, have stayed here, deserve to have something. And that is what you see in most every other community that's doing it. But we're losing our commercial faster than we're gaining it, and we're gaining more residential. So that's one of the problems of the formula of a residential tax break, because it has to come from somewhere. And if you keep spending, like when you think about the residuals of our homes, our assessments of our homes are going up, more money's coming into the city of Quincy. It slightly changed last year. I'm not sure if people noticed it. We kept claiming, like, oh, our taxes are going down. It's just your assessed property are going up. Last year, our taxes crept up. They're going to continue to creep up. Our assessments will still continue to grow, but your taxes will continue to grow. And all of that additional money that we're bringing in with the new growth, we're spending it as fast as we're bringing it in. So those are the balances that we need to really pay attention to.
Going forward, what's the campaign strategy, Ann?
This one's a little different than the past because I got into it a little bit later. Mm-hmm. So I haven't had a kickoff. I haven't raised any money. So what I'm doing right now is just good old-fashioned grassroots campaigning. People have offered to help, and I'm asking them, certainly they can help in any way they can, but this is not a mayor's race. This is a city council race. This is really about the people of the city of Quincy, representation of the city council. I encourage people to check out votemahoney.com. If you have any questions, I'm always reachable. As my pamphlet always has, I've given out my cell phone forever. I'll retire that at some point, but not in the near future. And I'm always accessible. So I thank everybody for welcoming at the door. I love when people walk by and I'm like, hey, I'm Mahoney, and like, we know who you are. And sometimes you feel like, oh gosh, I've been around for a while, but so is the people that I've been talking to, and I've missed them and they've missed me, and I think that's really the nicest feeling in the world. My world has grown exponentially because I decided to run for office in the city of Quincy. I always knew we had a great community with great people that lived here, but I've gotten just as much back from being an elected official and representing the people to the people that I've met and have been able to help. And, It's really an honor to be able to be a servant in the civic responsibility of that. And I hope that I can earn their vote. I just need one of them to get past September 2nd, and then I'll hopefully be seeing you again.
All right. Well, great to talk to you. Thanks for coming by.
It's always great to see you, Joe. Thank you so very much.
You're very welcome.
I've missed QATV.
And thanks for watching us here at QATV. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you next time.